Hey guys, welcome to the channel. We have yet another success story. This one is with Amanda, and she was a member of our Academy program. So I'm going to let her tell you everything, and let's start with introducing herself. So Amanda, welcome, and let's get into it.
Thank you so much for having me. I am truly so honored to be here. Like, this is just wonderful. I've actually had multiple moments where I've just been like kind of teary. Like, I'm like, I can't believe I get to do this and share my story.
If you want to introduce yourself, and I know one small thing, you wanted to say something at the beginning, right? So
yes.
You just space to say what you wanted to say so you don't forget, and then yes. Go and talk about the anxiety and the journey itself.
Perfect. Okay. So first, I want to thank God and my husband and my family and the mentors of Bye Bye Panic and the elders of Carlton Laney Church. I know that my story is going to resonate with a lot of you, and I feel like I'm a miracle and that my heart is just full of joy and gratitude for this journey, everything that it changed in me and how it grew me and the woman I get to be now. I'm just very grateful. Thank you for loving and supporting me. And here, let me tell you a little bit about myself. So I'm Amanda. I live in Oklahoma, and I am a farmer, a veteran, and a mom. I have four little girls, and we homeschool. And of course, I'm married to Adam. We've been married about 15 years, and so that's just who I am.
This is amazing. I don't know. I probably forgot. Like, now when you said that you're a veteran, I think I already, like, I knew that, but that's completely slipped my mind. And anytime you say it, I'm always like, wow. But yeah, I know you said that. And now when you said it a second time, I'm like, yeah, that's right.
All right.
Okay. So thank you so much for the introduction. And can you tell us how your anxiety began? Let's go back in time. How did your anxiety begin?
Let's go back in time. So I want you to know that in the blueprint, Sean has five ways that you can fall into the cycle. I had had a baby. We lost my mother-in-law. I was doing carnivore. And I, like, life was just very stressful last year. Like, our life was very stressful, especially when you lose your mother-in-law. You're going to have a lot of stress and emotion. And it's a lot. And I homeschool. So there's a level of overstimulation that you get when you have four girls in your home. So there were a lot of things weighing on me. So I feel like I was a train waiting to crash. Like, I was cruising for the cycle, and it was going to hit me no matter what. I had my fourth daughter in 2022, and I started carnivore. So it's very high. It's like you don't eat anything but meat. So your body kind of is stressed out anyways. And then in 2023, we lost my mother-in-law. She had liver disease and cancer, and it was very, very rough. It was very, very hard. So I started getting dizzy in 2023. Like, I started a year out from falling in the cycle. I was getting dizzy very, very bad. And I ended up in the stroke center of Tulsa. And I was in the stroke center, and they found an occluded artery in the back of my neck. So my vein in my neck is closed. Like, it doesn't give blood to my brain, but my brain has all the blood it needs. So that was the first time I ended up in the stroke ward. And when you go on an MRI, they like to give you Valium to go into the MRI. And when I came out or off the Valium, I started having panic attacks. So I started having panic attacks even then. And so luckily, after the first day in the stroke center, my dizziness faded away. I think I accepted it and just moved on. I truly do. I think I, like, kind of bopped in and out of the cycle. And then in the summer, I started getting dizzy again. We got really, really busy, and I got really dizzy. And I went to a chiropractor, and he popped my neck, and the room started spinning. And I ended up back in the stroke center. And that's another time I had panic attacks. So this time in the stroke center, I didn't come out of the cycle. I fell in the cycle. It was rough. So I had unexplained dizziness. And the doctors told me, the best stroke doctor in Tulsa said, you're probably going to have to get used to being dizzy. And so I'm like, so fear second. I'm sure in your cycle, you felt like there was a moment where just fear set in and it, like, wasn't leading. And I kept thinking, like, I'm going to be dizzy the rest of my life. And they also told me, we don't know if you've had a stroke, but you might have had a stroke, or you're going to have a stroke. That was lovely. That was lovely. I have, like, four little girls, and I'm like, are my babies going to walk in and find their mama dead? And I'm just, that's like, that was the image in my mind. So that's how it started. And sadly for me, I think we don't talk about it because we don't label our thoughts, but my thoughts went suicidal very fast. And so it went very dark. And so that's how I fell into the cycle. That's what happened. So it was a lot.
Oh, It definitely was. And thank you for sharing this, Amanda, because I think many people can, like, people can relate. But the thing that you described, right, the fear setting in and the worries and more and more and more and worries. And that's like a fast track, right? That's like a fast track. When someone says something that kind of resonates and you start worrying about it, that's mm-hmm. like, that's like, a, okay, let's speed it up and get into the cycle yes. as fast as possible. Okay. Yes. Do you remember what were the worst symptoms for you? You obviously mentioned dizziness. That was probably the main one, but I know there's never only one. So are there other ones that you would care to mention? Like,
so mine was, of course, the dizziness. And then I did have panic attacks. And Mirka, your story touched me so much because you were like, I would have panics all day. And I was the same way. Like when I fell into the cycle the first month, I was having many panic attacks all through the day and even at night. So mine were at night. I would have heart palpitations and I would have panic attacks just one after another. And I hardly slept. So insomnia set in very early. I would literally sit under our front tree and have my coat. So somewhere along the journey, I found that if you have panic attacks, cold water will help you. I'm just saying that doesn't help. but I would try. And I would keep my foot feet in a pool outside under our front tree, and I would have panic attacks. And then I would listen to Sean's videos about anxiety. He was the first one that I heard talking about panic and that's what I was experiencing. So I would have panic attacks a lot. And then a strange one, but it's just weird that most people may not think about, is I buzz. So it's a weird thing, but like the back of my neck, my sides, like I have a buzzing sensation. And that was a weird one for me that I wasn't expecting. It was just kind of, it kind of is the one where Sean says your most uncomfortable symptom will last the longest. And that's the one I've had to be like, okay, this is my friend. I'll just name him Buzz. And I just like keep going. And I'm like, you're going to be here as long as you want to be here. So that's the weird one, is the buzzing.
You know, usually people, like, they have the most uncomfortable ones. Those are the ones they resist the most. And then they all always have, or very often have, that one that's the weird one. And not mm-hmm. as dangerous or, like, painful or, like, hard to let it be. But mm-hmm. it's so weird that your brain just doesn't want to leave it alone because you're always questioning it. It's just because it's weird.
You're exactly right. You're exactly right. And with the buzzing for me, something that helped me is, one of our friends in the community told me to view it like a poot of adrenaline. And that just tickled me so much. Like I just would view it that way. But you also said your fingers tingled like the last couple months of your recovery. And then Sean had where like his eye turned everything blue, or like he had one eye that like everything was blue. And that really helped me accept the buzzing. Like it's not hurting me. It's not hurting. It's just unnerving. Like you're like, oh, I'm just like buzzing right now. I'm like, okay. So, and it's also like you can feel it in your eyeballs because you're like everything's kind of buzzing. And but by accepting it and knowing it's not hurting me, it's okay. And you had mentioned it'll fade out when it fades out. It'll go away when it does.
Exactly. People have weird symptoms. For me, like I can't imagine Sean when he was saying like one eye was like this tint of blue. And I never experienced that. I can't even imagine how that would look. But then, you know, few years back, I was just like doing something and I was rubbing my eye. And when I opened it, it was this like tint of like redness or like darkness. And I'm like, that's probably what it was like for him to experience, but with a blue instead.
Yeah.
So that kind of made me relate. But I think, you know, we all have like symptoms and some of them are going to be outright weird. And it's not that they're painful or like that uncomfortable, but just because they are weird, it's like you always question them because it's like, oh, this is so weird. This is the weirdest
thing ever. It is.
So we spoke about how your anxiety started and what symptoms you hated the most. Yes. And now I want to know, before you found Sean and the videos, what else, if anything, what else did you try to solve the anxiety?
So I was doing carnivore. I did do carnivore for like 2 years. And the funny thing is, I think they tell you that you won't have anxiety if you're doing carnivore. Well, for some reason, mine was very heightened. Oh, and something I didn't mention is I had had bulimia. I'm a recovered bulimic now, but I had struggled with bulimia for, my goodness, since I was about 10. So it was a very bad eating disorder and it followed me all through my army career and into marriage and into babies. So a horrible thing that I would try as a carnivore would, I would binge and purge, or I would drink wine. So there were things that I was doing that were really hurting my body when I fell into the anxiety cycle. So And on top of being carnivore also, it makes your cortisol levels go up. It kind of heightens some of your hormone levels. So at that time, I had gone down to like, I'm being anxious. I'm going to eat really only beef and water. So I was not eating a variety of food at all. So one of the first things my husband wanted me to do was start exercising. And so that was like the first thing I started doing. And I would exercise multiple times a day to keep the. I remember Sean in a video was like, I would walk for 3 hours and then come. And I was like, Sean, I feel you. I would walk forever just to feel normal, you know? It was the only time I would stop buzzing was like right after working out. Like I'd have like 15 minutes of like not buzzing. So exercising, I tried medication. So right out of the gate, I went to get medication. They gave me Xanax, which my body does not like Xanax. Like I don't know what it is. Opposite reaction for me. It did not help. The one that did was Ativan. So I would take Ativan to sleep, and it literally just knocks you out. And in addition to Ativan, I tried Prozac. And Prozac, I guess, is an upper. And when you're in the anxiety cycle, you don't need anything to like up your mood. And I had a horrible experience. Like that, I can't explain to you how painful going on Prozac was. It felt like my body and my head were just on fire. Like it was so horrible. And I would tell the doctor, I'm like, I'm really uncomfortable. Like this is not feeling good. And she's like, you're just anxious. And I'm like, I don't think this anxiety. Like, I really think this is like a reaction to the Prozac. So I came off Prozac very quickly. And then my husband, being very, very sweet, was like, let's try medical marijuana. It'll be okay. You're gonna have some honey. It'll be great. We got my card and we tried medical marijuana. And I'll never forget seeing a video of Sean say, sometimes you fall in the cycle after you've had marijuana because you want to get off the train that you already got on. Like you're trying to jump off the train. And I was like, that's me. I don't want to be on the train. And I wanted off that train so fast. And it was horrible. It was my longest. I had a 6-hour panic attack. My husband like sat there and would like check my heart rate and boom out of the like I'm assuming it was just over and over adrenaline rushes, like just over and over, my body would convulse and then I would kind of panic. So that didn't work. And I ended up doing Ativan at night and then hydroxyzine for about 4 months of in my journey. And so, but in addition, I tried BetterHelp. I did some natural medicine and tried some IV infusions of like drowning my body in magnesium to like calm everything down. But that was kind of it. So the big thing was I found Sean very early in my journey. That was such a blessing to me, is that it was really early. I mean, I fell in and I found his videos. So I was listening to him very, very early.
Okay, thank you for sharing that. Like, even for the short period of time before you found Sean, that's a lot of things to try.
Oh yes, I was a trier. I was like, I will try everything. Like
I
first thing
mean,
I found.
because, you know, sometimes you talk to someone who was sensitized for years before they found Sean, and they know about the same amount of things, but you went in town. It's like, let's solve it, right?
Yes.
So before we go into more details, just like a comparison. How are you doing right now compared to how you were doing when you fell into the cycle?
You know, I typed up my answers and I feel amazing. Like the woman I get to be now, I know is who I wanted to be all along. And I didn't know how to become her. I didn't know the skills. I didn't know that we're not our thoughts. I didn't know to not be controlled by our emotions. I wanted to be that woman. I just didn't know how to get to her. And so also, I mean, now another one, I have recovered from bulimia. Like I'm not bulimic anymore. Like I've been bulimic free for a year. Which is like, honestly, this is why I fell in the cycle to leave bulimia behind. That was worth it. Like it's like, okay, it was really rough, but I would rather not carry that into my 40s, into my children's teenage years. Like that's, you can't explain how amazing it is to come out of something like what we went through.
This is so great. Okay, so I take it that now you're doing very, very well compared to where you were. You're going to be, so don't worry. Okay, if you could, what would you tell someone that is in exact same shoes, like in the anxiety cycle, trying to find solution, trying things? What would you tell them?
I absolutely would tell them, number one, find Sean's videos. Like if you're listening, watch Sean's videos. And there is a moment where you're going to have to not just listen, you're going to have to do what Sean is telling you to do. And I would tell you, do not lose hope. It's going to take time. That's the thing. I think in our culture, we forget how much time something is going to take. Time is not your enemy. It's going to help you. And so don't lose hope. There is so much support available now. Like, I mean, when Sean was going through, there was nothing. When Mirka was going through, there was literally just Facebook. So like now there's so much support. And I would say, join ByBianic, be part of the community. But I would also say, do not stop living. Like if you are in this cycle, keep living. Even if it thinks so bad every day, if you're panicking all day, just don't stop living. Keep going. Like Sean said, I found that video really early and he said, responding happens while you're living. And I just kept going. So I never stopped living. So even having panic attacks, I would be driving my kids to gymnastics and I'd be having a panic attack in the gymnastic place. And I would be like, I have to keep going. And that's what I would tell people. I would just don't lose hope. Like, I know it sucks so bad. I can't even tell you how bad it sucks, but don't stop living. It's okay.
This is honestly so good what you said, because sometimes we get like new members, and of course when we're members and we have the first one-on-one calls with them, we're asking about anxiety, like short introduction. And very often they say, you know, I'm still doing everything because I have to, nobody is going to do it for me. And they almost sound like they're angry that they have to live. And in our mind, because I went agoraphobic very quickly after my first panic attack, and I was agoraphobic for a little over a year. And then it was so hard to start going out again. And in my mind, I'm always like, I know it hurts, but you don't know how lucky you are.
Yes. Yes. So I tell my husband and I were sitting outside in our yard yesterday, and Adam was talking to me. He's like, babe, you don't remember how bad it got. And I said, I kind of do, but I kind of have forgot. Like I do. And that's a blessing. I think it's good that we kind of forget how bad we got. And he was telling me just how much I had overcome. And I told him, I was like, I feel like it was a blessing that I was married and I had my girls, because I didn't have the option to just hide. My girls needed me. They needed to do school. My husband needed me to take care of him. And all of that was a blessing. You're right. Having a life to keep pulling you on. Like now I see the blessing in it, and I'm glad I didn't stop living.
When you started this answer, you mentioned time. And yes. I know people are going to be curious. So I don't like to ask this because I know it doesn't matter. And I think you at this point know it doesn't matter, but people that are starting out and looking for a solution, it matters.
Yeah.
So I would like, you know, for you to tell everyone how long you've been with us, how long you're working on your recovery. And people will ask, does she still have symptoms? So if you can answer that too, because they will ask.
Of course, of course. I actually do not mind sharing that because I know you're curious. And people are curious. So I joined Jumpstart in September of last year. So 2024 September. And I joined Academy in October. So I've been doing the program for I just had my 7th month. I call it my anniversary. Like that was my 7th month. I recovered probably within 5 months, maybe even 4. I just stopped caring. There was a moment where I just didn't care anymore. I was responding really well. You told us like there's 3 things to focus on besides just the symptoms going away. And I focused on those things. So I recovered pretty fast. But you know what? Some people will think that's such a long time. But for me, I knew I don't want to do this again. I want to do this one time. Like I was like, I would rather it take a long time and never ever fall back into the cycle than have rushed my recovery and been like, well, I'm one way. And then it come back in 5 years because I didn't learn how to actually take care of myself. So
and it's so funny that you say, you know, that you say some people will say that's such a long time and you say it was like around 6 months. You're a year faster than me. And I still don't think with myself, it took such a long time, because the fact is when you're living and when you're really focusing on the right things, the time just passes, because recovery is not a waiting game.
Mm-hmm.
It should be waiting. You just live with the symptoms and you learn not resist to them. And that's the most important thing you need to learn.
Yeah.
So yeah, like when you know that you know how anxiety works, you know you're able to respond to the symptoms even when they are there, and you know you're able to refocus and do everything that you would do otherwise.
Yes.
What is there to wait for?
Yeah, there's no waiting. There's no waiting at all. Like life takes back over. And I honestly, I think it was December that I thought, I'm on my way. Like, I just remember being like, I'm already here, because I had a beautiful December. Like, I was like, oh, I've celebrated the holidays. And I don't remember the bad moments. Like, when I stopped remembering the bad moment, I was like, okay, I'm on my way. When I was only remembering like the good things that had happened in the month, that was a big deal.
And I think that's the thing, because when you really learn, I always say, knowledge is one of the important like cornerstones, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You need to know how anxiety works, how your body works, how your brain works. When you learn that and you combine it with responding properly and focusing on the right things, when yes. you do all of that, periods turn into yes. moments, exactly as you said. Are they still there every day sometimes? Yes, but it's moments. It's a blip. Yes. It's like a moment. It's a couple of minutes, few minutes. You talk to yourself, you refocus, boom, it's gone. It's yes. not like I had panic attack and then I felt terrible for 2 weeks straight. No, mm-hmm. it turns into moments when you know what is happening, why it's happening, and how to respond.
Yes.
So it's really not that big of an issue that recovery takes mm-hmm. time. It's yes. moments.
It is moments, yes. Yep. And it helped so much. So I took 7 months to recover. And if anybody is wondering, I was on Ativan for a month. And I came off of Ativan for a month. So if anybody's, and that was very early in my journey. I came off medication as fast as I could because I realized it was fixing. No matter what I told myself, I knew any medication was fixing. So I also took hydroxyzine to sleep. And I took that for like 2 months because, Mirka, that was a hard one for me. You always told me I'm going to have to accept not sleeping. And it was hard. It was really, like, I say that and it's an understatement. It was so hard. So when I came off sleep meds, I've been off sleep meds for 3 months now, maybe four. And that was a big deal to come off those sleep meds and like let my body go through the panic of like, I might not sleep. I might not sleep tonight. And so coming off the medication was huge. And I remember, I think Shiv told us one time, like, you're not really recovered till you're not on medication. And I know that may really hurt people's feelings and like they want, they may like, I want you to know, it just is teaching your body you don't need anything, like that you're not trying to fix it and just let it be. And it took a lot of courage to come off all those medicines.
But, are you sleeping now? Just curious, oh, how you're sleeping now?
I sleep better than I've ever slept in my entire adult life. Like I've never been a good sleeper. And I realized that coming through the cycle, like I was like, oh, I've always like taken, you know, allergy meds to sleep or some melatonin. And now I don't force when I fall asleep. That's a big one for me. It's like, if I don't need to, I'm a 37-year-old woman. I don't need to go to bed at 9 o'clock. It's like, okay, if my kids go to bed at 9 o'clock, I can stay up. I let my body fall asleep when it wants to. And I have the joy, I am a stay-at-home mom. So I have a joy like waking up when my body wakes up. And I'm going to let my body do that for a while as I recover. Like, I'm not going to be messing with when my body wants to sleep and wake up. I'm like, I'll just let it do what it wants to do.
Amazing. This is amazing. And I think this is going to be nice to hear for people that struggle with insomnia, because I know with anxiety, insomnia is one of the hardest symptoms, because mm-hmm. when we don't sleep enough, and you have babies, you have kids. So yes. you know what happens when babies don't have their sleep.
Yeah,
they're crying, they're screaming. Yes. It's a problem that because a lack of sleep like messes up with our emotional regulation, with our emotions a lot. So mm-hmm. much harder to respond to anxiety when you're not sleeping enough. So I know insomnia is one of the hardest symptoms for people to deal with. So mm-hmm. it's nice to hear that, hey, guys, you can sleep absolutely normally. And, you know, yeah, it should take some months.
Oh, mm-hmm.
But you can get there and it's going to be fine.
Yes. Yeah. And I think that is part of sensitization that we have to remember, is that there's no, like, when we're having normal anxiety, normal stress, it doesn't hit the level that sensitization does, but it is, there's a reason. Like, there's a reason behind it. When you're sensitized, you're just accepting that that's how it is right now, because you made it that way. There was a huge
exactly.
part. Yes.
I think the easiest thing to tell yourself with sensitization is the reason is that I'm sensitized.
Yes. And actually, in that video, I remember that was something that you said over and over again about just accepting what is normal while we're sensitized. And again, it just helped. So instead of labeling things anxiety towards the end of my journey, and even now, I am telling myself that is normal. And I'm telling myself, like, no, that is not a bad symptom. That is normal. My body is doing something. And I truly think when we stop labeling anxiety, you do push through and recover, because you will not be like reinforcing the topic of anxiety anymore. You'll just be saying, no, that's normal and I'm okay and I'll keep going.
One of the things I always say in calls, and you heard me say it so many times, normalize it.
Yeah.
It's like, I get it. It's the 24/7 chronically for no reason. The reason is you're sensitized, but seemingly for no reason. I know it's tough, but when you realize you're not a machine, and even when you fully recover and then you will go through a stressful period or stressful time in your life, mm-hmm. you can feel all the same things. But because there will be the outside trigger, you will realize this is normal. You will even think about resisting it because you will understand, oh, this happened. So of course I feel like this. Of course I can't sleep. Or of course I'm shaky. But because you're sensitized, it's like there is no outside reason and we get so weirded out. So that's why I'm like, always remind yourself you're sensitized and therefore this is normal. You're not a machine, you're a human being. Because when you normalize things, a big part of that resistance just drops off. Because when the story goes out, the story of, oh my God, I'm dying, this is bad, this shouldn't be happening. When you make it normal, it's like, okay, it's normal. Why would I resist that?
Yes. It really takes the fear away. It truly does. I was really glad. That was probably one of the last phone calls I came in on to like listen to. And you know, I'm going to show you, but I have my notebooks and I have all your guys' teaching and notes. And I'm just a note taker. I love to take notes. And that was something that you kept saying over and over again was don't judge what you're feeling or anything that's happening. And you always said normalize it. And you were like, do not make it a big deal. Like your story that you're telling yourself, if you're making it a big deal, will make it a big deal. And so I think that coming away from that is so important to just be able to say it's normal, moving on. That was a huge lesson for me.
Since you moved onto this topic, I need to ask you,
yeah,
what is the most important thing that anxiety and recovery journey taught you or things, if there's multiple?
Oh my goodness, that's such a weighted question. There was so many good lessons that came through this journey. Like something, I mean, I'll give you a very personal one and then I can move into just the, again, I alarmed my way out of an eating disorder. Like, I mean, you can use this for so many things that you go through life. Something else for me is like, we talk about sometimes you'll feel guilt that you're like a hardship to people and family. And it made me realize I'm not a super mom. Like I'm not superwoman. I'm not a super mom. I have limits and I sometimes need help. And like, I'm not going to raise my girls all by myself in a little cocoon. I need help. And that is a beautiful thing that came out of this journey is the idea of I have limits. I need to listen to my body and know that like, it's not, and I don't mean as in like, I want to listen to anxiety tell me I can't do something. It's more of like, oh, I've pushed kind of to the max and maybe need to like know where my boundary is. Because I do have a tendency to be perfectionist. And learning to not be is a huge part of recovering. And just saying, there's a lowering of expectations, but not in a bad way. If that makes sense. Is it like, oh, okay, I can do the best I can. And that's good enough. That's a wonderful, wonderful thing. So perfectionism and what's the other? I had a really important one that just always meant so much to me, but I'll think about it in a minute. those were my big, big ones that just like, I'm not superwoman and the perfectionism being on. Oh, I'm sorry. I remembered. It is my inner voice is much kinder. You cannot underscore how important that is it to have a gentle inner voice, to be kind to yourself. Especially in an age where there's lots of mom guilt, a lot of, you know, there's always somebody guilting you into something. And to be able to, like you said, when you would have moments of anxiety, like your voice is a little bit more, I love it. It's like very, doesn't take anything. It's just like, you're like, nope, I'm so what? Like, I don't care. I'm going to keep going. And where mine, I've learned to just be gentler on myself of like, nope, you're doing the best you can. And I needed that after years and years of perfectionism.
This is why I always say when people are new and they ask, okay, what should I tell myself in this moment? What should I tell myself in this moment? And I'm like, I can give you suggestions, but you have to find your own voice because we all have different backgrounds and what works for me won't work for you. And what you need is not the same I need. Kind of like getting to know yourself and overall changing the way you're talking to yourself, but changing it in context of your specific situation. So solution is definitely the same, but the way you get there are going to be different person from person.
Yes. And I always loved your examples of self-talk to yourself because it helped me, because I do actually hear your voice in my head. I hear Shib, I hear Heather, I hear Vicky. Like I hear them because I liked their responses. But yes, I did have to tweak it for myself. And I realized, who do I want to be in my head? Because that will be who my kids hear in their head. Like I want to be gentle on me. So my girl, the voice going into my girls is more gentle. So I also anxiety did that. Just the changing of like, my response to my children of learning, oh, I do have a moment before I respond. I can be gentler. I don't have to respond in anger. Not that I'm perfect by any means. So there's always, this is a lifelong process, but just knowing you always have a moment and a choice how you respond.
One thing I noticed with moms, because at this point we had hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of members throughout the years. And what I noticed with moms is they very often are perfectionists. They are trying to be super moms and they are trying to always like go over their limits. And they have a lot of guilt because there's a lot of like writing on them. And I think I can't really relate. I'm not a mom, but I think there's a lot of this. Like I have those like tiny, tiny people that can't take care of themselves and they are all relying on me. So I think with moms, they are very often perfectionists and there is a lot of guilt. Mm-hmm. And that's why I think that for moms, what always helps, and it was actually Heather who kind of got me to that idea. When it's a mom, I always, and they are like, oh, I'm dealing with guilt and this and that. And in my head, right, it's these thoughts, what about this? And you're not good enough. And what about that? Mm-hmm. And I'm like, is this how you would talk to your own kid?
Yes.
They're like, no, no way. And I'm like, then start talking to yourself like if you were talking to your own kid.
You're exactly right. You're exactly right. And that really did help the inner voice calm down. And I honestly, the relationship with anxiety had to shift because I did have to start seeing it as like a misguided friend, somebody who's just trying to keep me safe. And that I think if you respond ugly to your anxiety, it's still a form of resistance. So like, let's say something happens and I'm like, dude, go away. Like that's, Shiv always taught us that, like, treat them like an unwanted guest, but not, or like unwelcome, but you're still kind to them. So that shifted the way I would say, like, no, thank you. Or like, I try to respond kindly because I'm not mad at myself for trying to keep me safe. I don't want them to think, like, I tried to view that as my child. Like, I wouldn't like answer my daughter annoyed. Like, I'm annoyed you're in my presence, go away. So I tried to tell myself, like, I don't want to treat my brain that way for the rest of my life. How do I want to talk to myself 5 years from now, and it would be a gentler voice.
Oh, this is so nice. And again, you were quite fast compared to me. I'm getting butthurt lately because people are recovering so much faster than I did. No, this is a joke. I'm so happy for you guys. And like, I don't know how long it took me. This is obviously a joke, but I like to say that. So even though you were quite fast with your recovery, my last question that's on the list would be, was there, and if, what was the biggest mistake or blocker on your recovery journey?
So I want everybody to know something that I really had to give up was I exercised this whole journey. And I remember you telling us like you don't have intention behind your exercising. And I did that for like 3 months into my journey. I would be exercising, but I had to remember to not add intention to why I was exercising. That was a big hold up for me, was saying, oh, I have to sit through these deeply uncomfortable moments and not exercise every day, like 3 times a day. I need to let my body get comfortable being super uncomfortable during those. So that took them, and you kept saying it over and over, and I would always write it down and I would think, I need to do that. But when I finally stepped back and thought, okay, I just, if it's going to be here today, it gets to be here. I can work out anyways. But adding no intention was a big one. And it did take me a minute to come off medication too. So I think that kind of, but you know what? I don't regret that because it really let me practice. It let me come out of the bewilderment. It let me come away from just being super afraid. It gave me some help to like sleep when I was still learning how to respond. And so I think coming off medication may have just been a little slow, but again, I think our journeys happen exactly how they're supposed to. So I feel like each, you know, go through your phases and it brings you out. And those would be my big two, is like, not expecting the symptoms to go away. Like, it doesn't, there's nothing that's going to make them go away. They're not actually hurting you. You just have to go through them. So, and viewing them, when I started to view them as waves of like, okay, I'm in a wave, it's going to end, and not seeing it as, I think there's a moment when you think it's 24/7. You're like, it's 24/7, it's every minute, I'm dying. And when you realize you do get breaks, even if they're like a tiny break, and just seeing it as a wave, those were moments that like I struggled to learn those of like, I'm going to let this wave go.
Nice. So yeah, intention is, I think it's a trip up for everyone. Intention.
Yes.
Because the action can be the same. Mm-hmm. The action can be the same, but the intention makes a difference. Are you fixing or are you just refocusing? Right?
Yes.
Trying to make it go away, or are you just choosing to not give it energy and go do your stuff anyway?
Yes. Because when I started exercising, because Adam said it will help you with your anxiety, I appreciated his guidance. It did. It immediately started giving me breaks. But because I was sensitized, I was telling myself I'm fixing my anxiety through exercise. So it wasn't getting better. Like, it was like, you know, when you're fighting your body, there's a pull. And when I finally let go of the, like, I'm not fixing, I'm just exercising for to go outside, to like, I changed the story I was telling myself, that helped significantly. So.
Yeah. Nice. And now last question that wasn't on the list, but I tell it everyone, it's not really a question, but is there anything you would like to add? It can be multiple things, anything you would like to say. I know you mentioned at the beginning, and I know it may seem in the video like I kind of brushed it off, but it was such a heavy topic. I didn't want to start with that. But as mentioned, like, you know, dark, very dark thoughts, like genocidal even and stuff. So is there anything else that you would like to share and give people hope and show them that this is like, you can absolutely deal with this. Like, you say anything, this is your time, you can say.
Well, I'm for that. Like, I went very dark because there felt like there was no solution. I thought I was truly broken. What you have to remember is we're not broken. Our body is trying to keep us safe. And there is a joy and so much gratitude can be found in that we are not our thoughts. They are just, they come and they can go. And even those suicidal thoughts, they're not hurting you. They can't make you do anything. There was very early in the journey, I remember thinking, I am not suicidal. I don't know why this thought is coming up. I'm not going to leave my girls. I'm not going to leave Adam. I'm not going to do that. And there's a fire in all of us that doesn't want to cave to the anxiety. We don't want to listen to it. So you just have to hold on to that joy and the fact that you will come through it. Like, there will be an end. I love the video of Sean's dad. That video touched my heart so much. And I don't want to not do this interview and tell Sean's dad, thank you so much for coming on that video and telling us about your faith in Sean and knowing that he would recover. That meant so much to me. Your words about that the universe is teaching you something and that you're going to be in the dark and you're going to come out in the light. That truly, like, just touched my heart. I wrote it down and I was like, I loved that so much. Because for me, the person that believed in me was Adam. And he told me early, it is a joy and a pleasure to take care of you when you're sick. And I will be right here. And when he told me that, it took away all the pressure of recovering. And I knew I'll recover when I recover, but I'm going to keep going. And that's the biggest thing. Keep living, keep going, and you'll recover when you recover. That, like, it's the keep going, keep making memories. Like, for me, I'm running 5Ks. I'm doing, you know, challenges on my phone where I walk the Shire and like, or I cross stitch. Find hobbies, keep living. And your body will turn off when it wants to. Like, we can't force that. There's a, with Dr. Claire Weeks, she often tells us, like, let time pass. And it always makes me laugh because I was like, oh, I would have been letting time pass for a very long time I would have gotten so frustrated just letting time pass. So I'm glad I found Bye Bye Panic and one of your in-depth learning of anxiety, because that would have been frustrating to just be like, oh, I'm letting time pass for a long time. My favorite Q&As were of people that were like, I went clubbing while I was I went to Mexico and we clubbing and I had a great time. And it's like, yes, you'll remember the good. You won't remember the bad. And I just last night literally had dinner with a girlfriend and she had fallen into the cycle like 8 years ago. She found her way out by herself And something she told me that gave me so much hope, she said, you really won't remember it. Like, it will fade. And I was like, that just filled me with so much hope. I was like, oh, I'm not. She's like, you will. You're going to walk away and be 10 years down the road and be like, I don't even remember. So wherever you are in your journey, just keep going. And then in 5 years, we won't even remember. And it'll just be that story that made you a better person.
Listen, Amanda, this is amazing. I'm so happy you came to share with us. And honestly, it was a privilege to be there for your journey. It was amazing to be able to mentor you, teach you, have you on calls. Mm-hmm. And girl, you crushed it. And you deserved it. You deserve every single great day that you're having now.
Thank you so much. I truly appreciate you. The mentors, you guys are just wonderful. The fact you, again, I made a video about just you all walk with us. You didn't leave us. And it's a calling that you guys stay with us and walk, coach us through that. So thank you all very much for being with me.
You're very welcome. It's like, sometimes it's really, really hard. I'm still not good at taking compliments, but even though I rarely know how to answer when someone thanks me or stuff like that, I want to everyone. That's not just you. That's everyone who recovered with us. It's always so nice to see people recovering. It's sometimes like sad when people are leaving, especially when they are like a huge contribution to a group and to a community. I'm always like, oh my God, we're losing such a great person, like supportive person that's in there in the community, right? Helping others, helping newer people. Yeah. And it's sad, but at the same time, I'm like, go. Like, yes. Deserved it. You don't need us. Go.
Yes. It's just a wonderful, there's a transition of like where I wanted to leave, but it's like, oh, I don't want to leave anybody who has been struggling and that I've been watching. And like, that's where you feel the tug. But then you also know I have to go. I have to go live. And I'm, you're always there and I know where to find you, but I'm just glad to be able to say thank you. And I'll see you in a few years. And it'll be joy. It'll be like a check-in and they'll be like, here, let me show you my babies. They're all teenagers.
Absolutely. So, yeah. And hey, if you ever feel like, hey, I'm doing even better now than I did when I did the video, come back. We'll do another check-in. We love it. Welcome, pick up touch. Like, you know, 6 months later, a year later, and they're like, oh, I thought I was great at that time. Oh, what I'm going to tell you now. I love that. So you're always welcome to join us again and again and again. We don't care.
Well, thank you.
Happy to share it. Okay?
Awesome.
Okay. So guys, that's going to be it. Again, I'm not Sean. I don't know his speech about where all the buttons are and the subscribe and the bell and all of those things. You know what to do if you like those videos, if you want to see more people's stories that are recovering with us, tune in. There's going to be more in the future. So yeah, if you like us, subscribe, and I'm going to see you next time. Thank you, Amanda.
Thank you.